Today's episode of The Mom Game is presented by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop Click Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule that delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome inside the Coppola Studios for episode 267 of The Mom Game. I am Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs. And we're here.
We're here.
We're here. Cheers to being here.
Cheers. Cheers. Yay. To being here. And we have to tell the people.
Okay.
We're shooting a little bit later in the day now, which makes our wine drinking a little bit more appropriate.
Yeah, it does. This afternoon.
Not that we ever really cared.
No, we never care, obviously. yeah, we're shooting after the noon hour, which is great. Yeah, it should work out most times where we shoot later in the day, except for if I'm working Rangers or if we have stuff, you know, mom life be real flexible and chaotic, as you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hence the gist of this whole dang thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But thankfully we have Coppola wine to get us through. We got a couple big things coming up. We've got the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, which we heard about, which we'll be at next week.
Yeah.
And then the Charles Schwab Invitational at Colonial, which is also coming up. And that's where our friends Coppola will be.
Yes, they are the official wine of the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial Country Club in Emily's backyard out in Fort Worth. That is coming up later in May. And we love our friends over at Coppola for many reasons. Of course, they support the Do It for Dirt Foundation. And then, you know, the bulk of it is that they have some delicious wine that we love. A couple of examples of that are the Coppola Claret Cabernet Sauvignon. That's the perfect pairing with all meals. It received a 93-point rating from Wine Enthusiast magazine. The Coppola Diamond Prosecco, which goes great with friends and family anytime. And then this year, coming soon, Coppola is introducing a new lower calorie and lower alcohol Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Grigio, and the new Coppola Shimmer White Blend. Emily, what are we drinking today?
This is the rosé.
Some rosé.
Cheers.
Yes.
Rosé all day. So cheese. and also Coppola will be at our, speaking of big events coming up, we have our mom game night out at the ballpark at the Rangers game on May 13th. And before that, we're having a little happy hour at Hearsay, which is in the old ballpark, which is Choctaw Stadium. Hearsay is right there just across the street from Globe Life Field. So we're going to be there. There's, you know, 20 people who won or 10 people who won a pair of tickets during our fifth anniversary giveaway. And they're going to be there. And then also we're inviting anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone who wants to come hang out with us. You can get some Coppola wine, mingle with us and some fellow mom gamers, and have a good time. And if you want to, head over to the game with us after that.
Yeah. I'm super excited for that. I haven't been to a Rangers game, obviously, this season or in a while.
Yeah.
And I feel like we haven't had a mom game event with the people.
With the people.
In a while.
We like to be with the people.
We like to be with the people. So I'm pumped.
There's not too many people. I'm just kidding.
What's the limit?
With my social anxiety. I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll all be fine.
There are people.
There are people.
There are people. Yeah. No, it'll be great. And we're excited that Coppola will be there too.
For sure. Okay. Easter happened. How was your Easter?
Well, we escaped the house for three things.
Stars. I saw
the Stars game. Was me. I escaped everybody else. And I went with Jasmine. And we went to the Stars game. And then I escaped for church. I got the whole family out the door for church. And we didn't make it through the whole service. But we made it there. And then we escaped for Easter dinner. And the reason we had to, we only had three things that we left for in about 5 days was because the tummy bug got us.
Tummy bug. Yeah.
It was Ryder first and it kicked him I mean, he was down for like 4 days, like vomiting.
Ugh.
I mean, yeah, I don't need all to explain things. All yeah. the things. And it was the morning of he was supposed to have that STAR test. And yeah. so I think there was some test anxiety for sure that probably did not help.
Right.
Y'all know, I was real worried that was it. Like yeah. that he was having this total crazy reaction to going to take his test.
Right.
In which I was like, holy moly. Like I knew the kid had anxiety, but like coming out both ends because right. of the test, like, jeez. Yeah. And turns out it like the fact that it just didn't stop. It was like, okay, this is not just yeah. the test. And we were trying to figure out if it was food poisoning because it was so bad for him and it was not getting better. But then sweet little Anna just vomited out of nowhere. And we were like, okay, so that's that. That yeah. solves. I mean, I was texting with our doctor and everything. Like, she's like, well, it still could be the tummy bug, even though it's going on 4 days and all this, like throwing up for 4 days. Like, I yeah. don't know. I just felt like it should start winding down.
Yeah.
Usually you hear it like runs through somebody in like 24 hours, yeah. maybe 2 days. And so the doctor was kind of like saying, no, it's probably just a bad tummy bug. But then we start thinking of all these things. What did he eat? And could it be this? And I start kind of getting real worried. But then when Anna got it, it was not great. But it was also like, okay, this is
validation.
Validation yeah. of what it is. But then it was also like, okay, let's all be on guard.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it hit me. But not as bad as the kids, I guess, because we just have a stronger immune system. And
yeah.
for me, it was mostly just like exhaustion. So it was kind of nice. Like Ryder got better and he was getting cabin fever and Kelly never got it too bad. But Anna and I just got a lot of downtime together. We just watched a lot of movies and we laid on the couch and there was always, things you needed nearby.
Yeah.
And really up until today, I have been dealing with it. And hopefully today I'm better.
Oh, bless.
Yeah. But she's back at school.
Was it kind of nice
to just lay around?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I'll get sick.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like I've always said, I just want like a mild car accident where everything's fine.
Right.
Nobody's hurt. Not my fault. But just I'm really sore.
You just need to get laid up.
Maybe a little whiplash. The doctor yeah. just tells me to like lay in bed for 2 days. And I'd yeah. be like, oh, it's okay. Doctor's orders.
Right.
Because I feel like that might be the only time I would allow myself to do that.
Yeah. Well, maybe you need to self-prescribe it.
No, I 100% do.
Yeah.
And I think about it all the time. I'm like, you know what? I just might take a nap today. And then 5 seconds later, I'd be like, you're the dumbest motherfucker ever. Zero chance you're going to lay down and take a nap, darling. Zero.
Because the brain.
Because there's no. Yeah. Like, lay down during the day? Like, yeah. what?
I know.
That sounds so weird, but it sounds glorious.
Yeah. I can't.
But it's
do that
something
either.
I can't. It's I can't. I don't know. I can't get my mind around it.
Does Mike do that?
He on the weekends for sure.
Oh, Kelly can nap with the best of them.
He doesn't nap. He goes in his fishing room and to watch whatever, golf or something.
Yeah.
And there's just too much noise in there in the regular house in the house for him. So he just. I'm like,
I need a room.
But I have my office. That's kind of my, but it's not like I'm laying down and taking a nap in my office.
Right. But
that's kind of like where I go. That's my space is the office. His space is the fishing room.
Yeah.
But his space has a lock on the door and.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And a fucking couch.
You sure he's
and
watching
a TV.
Golf?
Who knows? Don't know. Don't care. Honestly. Whatever you want to do in there, get after it, honey.
Just watching some golf.
There are
There's
windows.
There's a big tournament though. On.
There are windows.
It's getting real close.
There are windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm just messing.
Oh, yeah. But,
Yeah. Well, I think we all need our space. That's true.
Yeah.
And we all need to somehow find a way to relax.
Yeah. And I we talked about this before. Like, and I was thinking about this the other day. Like, again, love my husband. But like, what? Who started this sleeping in the same bed thing?
I really would like to know.
Who started
Did
this?
Adam and Eve sleep in the
I
same?
I don't know.
Leaves? They didn't have bed.
They feel like.
Did they sleep on?
I don't know. A bed of roses?
Bushes?
I don't know. But,
And how long before they realized they could like do it?
I don't. Do it?
Yeah.
I'm not very familiar with that Bible story, honestly. Is there like a bone involved or something? A rib? I don't know. I love you, Jesus. I love you, God.
This is our Easter celebration.
I do consider myself a faithful person. I just don't know a lot about the Bible.
I mean, surely to detail that part in the Bible.
About Adam and Eve doing it?
Yeah. Or like how they figured out that they could fit together like that.
Okay. If Lance Marshall, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. But like how, like where do Adam and Eve, but then where are they with like Mary and Joseph? Like, I'm so confused by this whole thing.
Me too.
So Adam, I mean, Mary and Joseph are Jesus's parents. She was the Virgin Mary. He really didn't have a whole lot to do
like
with it.
A long time ago.
So Adam and Eve are like just around in the 1920s.
We need a timeline. Not the 1920s. They were the first people ever on
Earth. I know it's not 1920.
But I'm acting like I know, but I don't.
You don't.
This is a very good question. Because Adam, okay, so Mary and Joseph.
Oh, here we go.
They were pre
historic. Not dinosaurs.
They were post dinosaur.
I think we need somebody to chart this for us.
But Adam and Eve were
I know, I'm embarrassed.
Cuz where did the dinosaurs fit into all this?
I don't. Were there dinosaurs in the Bible?
No, but I want to know where they fit in.
Are we sure dinosaurs even existed?
Yes, there's fossils.
You're right.
Now, there would be the people that don't believe that the Bible stuff existed.
Oh, 100%.
There's no fossils.
Yeah. Just for the record, I believe in all of it. All of it.
I do.
Dinosaurs, aliens, UFOs.
And Jesus.
Jesus, God.
Adam and Eve.
Mary and Joseph. I believe in all of them.
So do I.
I just don't know exactly how they fit into the historical timeline.
Do you think Lance knows?
Of our life. 100% he knows.
He knows the timeline?
Yes. He knows everything about stuff like that.
I would love to, but like I'm really mind blown right now.
Well, Mary started it with Adam and Eve it after my husband being by himself in a fishing room watching golf. This is your fault.
I needed some light. I needed to laugh today.
Okay. Well, welcome to our Bible lesson. Where we don't know the difference between Adam and Eve and Mary and Joseph. We know they're different. Yes. We just don't understand
the whole
context.
Adam and Eve didn't
context.
Have baby Jesus.
Well, no.
We know this much.
But they did something and she was forbidden fruit. And I feel like there was a bone of some sort involved. And not that kind of bone.
Yeah.
A legitimate bone. Not that bone.
Right. They weren't supposed to eat the apple. There was like an apple.
Is there something about a bone?
Yeah.
We're going to get so many comments of people being like, y'all are so stupid. This is embarrassing. You call yourself Christians. Whatever.
I don't know. I think people, this is the thing. Like people pretend like they know a lot.
I used to pretend so much.
We're
like
being
I
very
so much.
Bold and saying
now
we
I
don't
just,
care.
I just like say, I don't know anything.
Or like maybe one day I did.
Not one thing. Don't come to me for any knowledge of any sort, please. I don't.
That's not true. You know a lot.
Understand. No, I do.
But we do forget a lot.
Oh my gosh.
Like
right.
All the things I learned in school. I mean, you could quiz me on, I might remember state capitals, like some. I mean, I remember some times tables, but like, I don't know. I'm about to get so phased out of my kids' schooling. Like when they start asking me for help, I'm sure you're.
I'm already out.
It's going to be so hard.
Oh yeah, I'm already out. Because I told you, like one time Hattie came home or something and it was like trying to do a math problem. And I'm like, well, this is this. And then you carry the one. And she's like, carry the one?
Right.
Where are you carrying it to? And I'm like, to the next column. Like, you carry it over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so out.
That recently happened to me.
I'm so out.
I tried to carry the one with Ryder.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like I had 17 head.
Tell you something, they're not carrying ones these days. They're not carrying ones. Well, I mean, listen, I'll talk to Lance and see if he'll come back on. Lance Marshall is my pastor. And
we've been saying this for a while.
I know. And he is the official spiritual advisor of the Mom Game.
We need Lance.
I know. And we were at church and listened to Lance preach on Sunday for Easter. We all made it out of the house to
Yes, I need your ketchup.
Church.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not. My niece and nephew and my niece's boyfriend were in town, all from tech. Jordan and Carter, my niece and her boyfriend, are graduating next month from Texas Tech. And my nephew is a freshman. And so they came and spent the weekend with us. And we had so much fun. Henry had an all-day tournament on Saturday. So went to that. I was basically at a ballpark all day. And then Sunday, went to church. And then I hosted Easter. We played a lot of Mahjong. It's a huge hit with my college.
That's so fun.
We have so much fun playing it.
It's Do they play so it in fun. College?
No. But okay. I taught them how to play the last time they came.
Do they pick up on it?
Yes. And
college
they love it.
Kids and their fresh brains.
I know. But I mean, not they'll still make some mistakes. But yeah, they picked up on it pretty quick. So yeah, we did that. We just had so much fun. We played, like, they played volleyball, cousin volleyball.
And that's fun. You're the host house.
And we had fun. We had a blast.
How many cousins?
Well, so with me and my sister, there's just the four of them, Henry, Hattie, Jordan, and Jacob. And then, but with my dad's, family, they're like family to us too. Obviously my dad and Ava were married for 20 years. They live in Graham. And so on that side, there is five. But they're much older. So they're all like married, have kids, all that kind of stuff. And so our little four are a little closer in age. Mine are the youngest of the bunch, but we love having them in town. And I will tell you this, like having three college kids that are, first of all, so respectful and so helpful. Like they're like, what can we do to help?
Wow.
And so I'd be like, you go blow out the garage, you vacuum the floors, you can you do this? And they're all like, sure thing, happy to help.
Wow.
Like Carter got a
that's
there
amazing.
Was a tennis ball stuck
were
in the
gutter. Were they always like that?
So my sister and her husband, I mean, my niece
it?
And nephew are like, I just pray every day.
Are they from a small town?
Yes, they're from 4 to 5. They live in Virginia, but I pray every day that my kids are just like Jordan and Jacob. Like my niece and nephew are ridiculous. Like smart, driven, respectful. Like they have fun, but they like don't get in trouble. They don't cause trouble. Like they're just such like good kids and good human beings. And I'm like, God, what a luxury. And you know, obviously my sister still worries, right? You're always going to worry about your kids, but like, you mean, you know, like you've raised some really fucking good kids. Like,
right.
And that you, I mean, but you don't, like, by and large, you don't have a ton to worry about with them. Like, you don't have to worry about them, like, doing really dumb shit. Like, dumb shit, but not really dumb shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're driven. They're smart.
That's
like,
amazing.
They're all, like, Jordan's graduating, like, summa cum laude, and Jacob has a 4.0 his freshman year. Like, it's just, they're just
I wonder how much of that is, like kind of straightens out as they get older and kind of learn and grow into who they really are, or if they're like that from beginning to end, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I see them a lot like my sister. Like my sister and I are very different. Like we've talked about this. She's very shy. She's very quiet. She's very sweet. Like there are not many people who are like, oh my God, Emily is so sweet. Like I don't really know that anyone's ever said that about me. I feel like I'm kind. But I don't think I'm sweet. Sarah is sweet and like doesn't want to ruffle feathers and is just, I don't know. I just feel like they've kind of a lot of taken on kind of her personality.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like my house, we're smart asses. I mean, with the kids, like Mike and I, like it's just a different kind of vibe, I guess.
Yeah. But your kids are great.
My kids are very good.
Yeah.
But however, like you, and Henry's gotten in trouble a couple times at school this year, last couple years. Like, and to be, and I know this sounds weird. I think we talked about this. Like, I was kind of like, okay, it's that there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you're going to misstep. You've got to learn how to handle it. Also, I just don't want you to be a giant people pleaser all your life. You know what I mean? Like, you have to learn how to screw up and how you're going to react to it and how you're going to handle it. Now, Hattie, it's like, get your popcorn ready. Like, I don't know what she's going to do. Like, not in a bad way. She just likes to push the envelope. She wants to push it as far as it will go. She's got a very sweet and kind soul. And she knows, you know, I think she does the right thing a lot. But she just likes to, you know, she just likes to tiptoe on that line just to see what things are like.
Yeah.
You know, if she pushes just a little bit further, which I think she absolutely gets from me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's fun to see their personalities. It's fun to see, you know, how they grow up. But like having three college kids to help you get ready to host, you know, a holiday or whatever. And just in general is just like so nice. Like doing the dishes and emptying the trash. And like, it was just so nice to have them here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so it was
awesome.
Super fun. It was great. Easter was fun. Now we're back at it. Stretch run for, you know, school.
I know.
I think there's like 21 days or something like that.
How in the world? Kids.
I don't know, but I'm ready. I'm so ready.
I'm ready too. And I say this every year.
Your kids are younger though, where they need to be entertained more. Like we're like, no, there's no camps. There's no, I mean, I think I've got Hattie signed up for like a volleyball camp she wants to do. They're both going to overnight camp, but it's like, that's it. Like you're going to get up, you're going to do your shit. You're going to figure it out what you're going to do the rest of the day. You're not going to be parked on your phone. You can go ride your bike. I mean, whatever. You're going to figure it out. But
that
I'm not signing you up for a bunch of camps. We're going to sleep. Y'all can sleep as late as you want. But you'll get there to that age.
I will. It's just like right now it makes it life way harder
because then you're
hard to work.
Yeah. And you're having to plan. Yeah.
And I got to plan and manage and drive and coordinate and pay.
Right. And then sometimes these camps are like, 9 to 12:30. Yeah. And it's like, no.
I've got a lot of those happening.
Have a camp.
Well, and you have to do the mental math of like, how bad do I need? Is it worth this amount of money? Like,
and
you know,
shuttling back and forth.
Right. And so now we're both kind of home and we can technically work, but you can't really work, you know. So.
It's hard. You say that. You're like, oh, I'll just work while my kids are home. Right. It's
and then
hard.
You end up not getting much done. Right. Or what's happening with me now is like the guilt trip that especially Anna's laying on me. Oh, my gosh, I was taking her to school this morning. Ryder was late to school because he went to the Stars game, which we can touch on.
Oh, dear.
But I took Anna by herself and she was telling me that I was addicted to my phone. She's like just trying to cut. She's like, Mom, because you're talking about how she's addicted to her dog. Ryder's addicted to anything because Ryder is addicted to anything. He needs like a thing. She's so smart. She's like, Ryder's addicted to anything. He needs this. He needs that. He needs something. I'm addicted to the dog. You're addicted to your phone. And I was like, well, my phone is my work. I have to. And the work never stops. And I'm trying to explain it to her. But anyway, that's a working from home thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Because like, they see you.
It's all hard. Like being away from them is hard. Working in their presence is hard. And summer's hard. But I am excited to your point about just kind of the relaxation, the not setting the alarms, the not waking them up for school.
Yeah. And making lunches.
And like having a pause in all the activities and all the everything.
The practices, the games.
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to leave for a big chunk of July and go to Canada.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. But yeah, it's crazy that it's already this close.
I know. I'm excited about
that. Wild.
I know. And then I was thinking about like how many summers I have left with my children.
Yeah.
Like with Henry.
Where are we at?
Well, I mean, so going into 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, going to 12th. So 5 more summers with Henry.
That's a good amount.
It is. But that's just crazy to think about. He's 13 years old, about to be 14, and now we're down to 5. Yeah. Like,
but don't you think he'll always come back for your summer? I always came back for summer. But it won't be the same because they'll be old.
Right.
But like my next door neighbor, her son is in college and he's home all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's home for summer. He's home for the break.
Right.
For a long weekend.
True. Yeah.
Just to help.
I mean, I'm just thinking like normal.
Right. Under
your. Like we've had ever since, you know, we've gone to the same place on family vacation every year for the last 11 years.
Yeah.
And then I just thought to myself, like, because we kind of toyed around with, because the kids are splitting up camps this year, overnight camp. So, you know, Henry will be at camp or Hattie will be at camp for 2 weeks. Then she comes home. Then Henry goes to camp for 2 weeks. They're not going to the same camp this year. And so we toyed with the idea of like, well, maybe we just don't go to Florida this year for family vacation. And then I was like, you know what? No, we're going. It's the only time that we're all, I mean, granted that we, last year, and we're doing it again this year, let the kids take a friend. But we still have so much great, I mean, it's still such good time together, you know,
it's
something that we've always done. So anyway,
And those are the things they'll remember. You know,
for sure.
Like those family vacations and it's important.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a little sports scorts brought to us by our friends at Tylock George Eye Care. Custom lens replacement from Tylock George Eye Care is one of many life-changing options from the trusted ophthalmologists at Tylock George. Tylock George offers 24 months interest-free financing with approved credit. If you have questions about your options, including custom lens replacement, which is what I got, or LASIK, which is what Julie got, all you have to do is reach out to them, schedule a free consultation. Tylock.com/TMG is our special link that you can use to schedule that free consultation. Also, you can just give them a call, mention The Mom Game sent you, and you can also take advantage of that special discount. So remember, the trusted ophthalmologist at Tylock George, reach out to them to see what your options are to get that vision optimal, regardless of where you are in your vision journey. Okay, you mentioned Ryder went to the Stars game. I didn't even make it to the end of the Stars game because I fell asleep.
Yeah, me too.
And woke up like at 3 because I was listening to it in my earbuds. Wow, something's going on loud outside. Okay.
I think we're good.
I was listening to it in my... Because again, back to the, we sleep together as husband and wife and he goes to bed and then I go to bed like 20 minutes later and it's a complete dungeon in our room. But I can't go to sleep in dark dungeonous room until my early birds kick in.
Yes.
So last night I popped some early birds and then I put my AirPods in and was just listening to the game because I was like, I'll just listen to this
as
I fall asleep.
Good dedication.
Yeah. And so when I went to sleep, it was 3-2. We were down.
Uh-huh.
And so...
That's about when I went to sleep.
Okay, then I fell asleep, and then I had to get up and go to the bathroom, and I was like, oh my God, did they win? Did they win? And then I got on the ESPN app, and I was like,
Yes.
Won overtime.
Isn't that fun? That's kind of one of the... I mean, it's not like the best fan thing to do, but it's kind of fun to fall asleep and wake up and see that your team won.
Because it like it changes everything.
And you got your sleep.
Yes.
And you got your rest.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah, because I was getting up. I mean, I'm waking up at 5:30 in the morning. So I'm like, I can't stay up till midnight.
And it's kind of like you wake up to like something. You're like, it's like Christmas morning.
And
you're like...
And then if they lose, it's like... So glad I didn't stay up to watch up to watch them lose.
It's a win-win.
It is kind of a win-win.
So yeah, at that point, then
Kelly took him, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
So our sweet nanny, former nanny, now friend, her mom texted. They had some extra tickets. They're huge fans. That's how we met her back in the day. I told you this story, like down by the family room. So her mom had some extra tickets and they're just so sweet. And so they had 4. So Anna and I were still not doing well.
Yeah.
And so I told Kelly to take Ryder and then they invited another dad and boy.
Oh, fun.
But it was an 8:30 start.
Yeah.
And it was like one of those parenting decisions, like going back to school after a long break.
Okay, did he have star tests today?
Being sick. No, the math star test is next week.
Okay, because we had star tests again this week.
Oh, really?
I mean, today.
Oh, wow. Oh, we definitely wouldn't have done it before star test.
Yeah, I can't imagine you would have.
I like to think I'm not that bad of a parent. No. But yeah, our other one is next week. So it was just a normal school day, but he did miss last week a lot, and then he was sick. But it's just like, that's their thing. Like, it's the Stars. That's their thing. He missed.
What grade is he in?
3rd.
It's fine.
But it's fine until they miss too much school that like the district starts calling you and stuff.
Well, it's, I think, trust me, I've been down this road with Hattie as we can, the push the envelope girl. She missed, like, I think it's like 10 unexcused.
Okay. Well, we've got, most of ours are excused because he's had a lot of sick stuff and doctor stuff and all that. So he really doesn't have very many unexcused. And he made it today by the time they take attendance.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, anyway, he went and brought a friend, one of his best friends, and his dad. And so they went. It was a late game. But, yeah, so I was at the first game Saturday night, which was much closer than the score.
Yeah, because I didn't get to see that because we were at the baseball tournament all day.
Okay.
But, and I was like, I was keeping up because we were playing till late, and I was keeping up. And it was like 1-1. And then like we got in the car after the ring presentation bull stuff, whatever. And I was like, 4-1? What just happened? Like what happened
fast? It was crazy because we ended up tying it up. And so for a split second there, it was tied. And then they scored again. And then they scored again. And then at the end of the game, they had an empty netter and then another. And so it was like the win just got like, taken out of their sails there very quickly. But it was a lot closer than it seemed. The arena, once the thing got tied up there, 1-1, I believe it was, like, was super alive, was into it. It was really fun. And then all of a sudden, I mean, Colorado's just a really good team.
Yeah.
Like, on paper, they're supposed to win. Yeah. Like they're a really good team. Nathan MacKinnon is the best hockey player in
alive
in the world.
Yeah.
That's playing right now. And they're good. So we knew this was going to be a challenge. They got a tough draw in the first round, but the Stars are a really good team too. So what you don't want is to go down two games.
Yeah.
And then go back to Colorado down two games. So last night's game, Monday night's game, was super important for the Stars to be able to win. And
1-1 and down 0-2 is just it. Obviously, it's just huge.
Yeah,
it's just huge.
Right. Yeah.
Like those the ones where you're tied, whether it's 1-1, 2-2, it's just the swing is just so big.
Right.
You know,
it's so big. And
especially when they limped into the postseason, losing 7 straight games to end the regular season. Yeah.
Yeah.
They needed something.
And Pete DeBoer even said as much after the game last night. Like, it was interesting. I heard him say it. He was like, yeah, last year we were able to pull it off down two games to Vegas, but I don't think we could have done it again. Yeah. Like, the head coach said that, like, against this Colorado team.
You just don't want to flirt with
you
stuff
like
that.
You don't want to. Yeah. And so they were able to get the job done Monday night in overtime. Tyler Seguin had a goal.
Yeah.
He's just back from hip surgery, missing the whole season, essentially.
And he's got dad strength.
Jamie Benn announced that he had his baby. Jamie and Jessica had their baby boy. They named him Knox. He was born earlier this month, and they didn't announce it until like 2 days ago. So he missed a couple of games earlier in April, and they didn't say why, but that was why. So we've got Jamie and Tyler now with dad strength playing, so cute, leading the way for the team. But Tyler had a huge goal that I believe tied the game up in game two. And then this thing was pushed to overtime by Jenny Dodonov, who's just a veteran, scary guy with a hard shot who is always kind of there for that clutch goal in the playoffs, one of those guys. And so he was able to help push this thing to overtime. And then in overtime, it was Colin Blackwell and his story. At the game Saturday night, I was like, golly, there's like a bunch of guys I don't know anymore on this team. There's a bunch of names that I don't recognize, like the fourth line, the third line. Like, I don't know. I don't know these people. A lot has changed, even in 2 short years. Colin Blackwell is a name that I'm familiar with, but like, he was a healthy scratch in game one. And
people who don't know what that means in hockey, it means that literally that dude watched game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs in that series from the press box.
Yeah.
He wasn't on the bench. He may have been in the room like before the game or whatever, but literally they watch these kind of extra players because they're scratches. Yeah. They watch from the press box. Like, I remember when I was covering the Stars eons and eons and eons ago, and you'd be up in the press box and you would see like
they walk by.
They're a player. Like, they're going to get a hot dog and some popcorn from the, media snack area, and I'm like, this is so unstable,
it's
but
so
they're
weird.
Like wearing suits and ties and looking very professional, and they're on the hockey team, but they're just not playing hockey, they're just watching it from so it's not like they sit on the bench or whatever. It's crazy. And then that dude is the stinking hero in game two that could change the whole complexion of the series.
Exactly. Like, which is just so such a cool story about like, hard work and all that. Like, Tyler Seguin was asked about him, saying that because Tyler wasn't playing for so long, he got to see how hard everybody was working in the gym. Like, he just had a different kind of bird's eye view of the team and who was doing what outside of, the day to day on the ice, off the ice stuff. And he said Colin was one of the guys that was just always putting in that extra effort. Yeah. And he's not one of the Stars, right?
He's a bust ass.
So it's guys like that it's really cool to kind of see them get a little bit of glory.
Yeah.
Which he did, getting the overtime game winner in game two. So really exciting, huge win for the Stars, a good payoff for all the fans that waited through that on a school night.
And there is nothing like playoff hockey. I mean, we've said it a million times, but there's nothing like playoff hockey. It's just so fun. And the only thing better than playoff hockey is playoff hockey in person.
Yes. Yeah. Seriously. And huge too for like, we don't need to touch on the Mavs. It's been a whole nother disaster of a week for them. But
there's nothing else we can say.
I was talking.
The Mavs season is over and we're done.
It's over. They lost in the game they had to win to make the playoffs. I think everyone knew they were probably going to lose that one.
Yeah, we're done.
They were like morally defeated.
I don't even want to bring up the Mavs for at least 2 months.
But
at least.
But the AAC,
that's our
side of it.
closing Mavs segment is the Mavs are done.
Yeah.
Their season is over, and we'll check back in a couple months.
And I will be shocked if Nico's around. But I just will, personally. But the AAC and Mavs fans that maybe now are Stars fans, I'm like, I want this for everybody. I want this for Dallas. I want this for 100%. The people. I was talking to Jasmine some about like her good friend that like works. He's a high up at the AAC and just talking about like how hard his life's been.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, and like how bad all those people need the Stars to do well.
Yep.
And all the defeated, sad Mavs fans. Like we all need some life in us right now. And the Stars are in the spot where they can provide that for the city of Dallas. And just the fact that they could get that game to win. Now let's hope that they could get another one or two in Colorado. They do have their captain perhaps coming back, Gabriel Landeskog,
who yes,
is a huge fan favorite, and he's been out for a long time.
I heard about this.
And so that's going to be like a whole...
Super emotional.
You know how hockey talked about? Yeah. It's going to be a whole thing. Like, they're probably going to stop down. And
he hasn't played in like 3 years.
Right, yeah. He had some crazy surgery and like thought that his... Everyone was saying his career might be over, and he was like, no, I'm going to come back. And he might come back.
Yeah. And they,
let's be real though. If he comes back, he can't be that good, but it's going to be this whole ceremony.
Right. But how do you know? Don't say that. Don't put that out there.
That's true.
It's going to be on you.
He's going to have a hat trick.
Well, it's going to be your fault. You just said he
wasn't going to
be
back.
He's that bulletin board material.
I just know how these people are.
Julie Dobbs gives, what is his name?
Landeskog.
Landeskog. Bulletin board material. They're hanging it up in the Avalanche room right now.
Blonde girl on the bulletin in Dallas board. On her mom podcast.
Look at what this mom in Dallas said about you. She said you can't be that good coming off of surgery 3 years ago.
I'm sorry. I'll eat my words.
Go shove it up her ass, right? Landy.
No, don't. Don't do it.
No, I'm just kidding. No.
Don't do it.
No, he's going to suck. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I mean, he'll do something. He'll skate. I don't know. Right. Hockey.
But hockey.
Emotions are big and he might pull something off. But even if he has a goal.
Hockey's cool like that. Like they celebrate things cool. They're, you know. I don't know. I feel like they do a lot of things.
We've established
the right
this.
Way.
Hockey's badass.
It is. Hockey's badass.
It's badass.
Okay, other sports.
So yeah, go Stars.
Go Stars. Mav season's over. Rangers.
Tell us what's up.
So we're doing great. I mean,
what's our record looking
record
like?
Wise,
I told you I haven't
it's like
watched.
13-9 maybe.
Okay.
They're leading the division. Pitching has been just stupid good. The offense is just not clicking. I mean,
if you had to pick one, wouldn't you go pitching?
100%. Considering
it's
the lineup,
such a big problem
with the lineup that we have.
History.
Yes, because you look at the names in our lineup and you're like, this guy's going to start hitting. This one's going to. They're all, you know, they have proven track records. So yes, if you have to pick one to, you know, get off to a slow start, you're definitely picking the offense because the pitching has carried this thing so far. But the starting rotation, the bullpen, which was the biggest question mark of all, and it's basically a bunch of new dudes or even some old dudes that came back. The bullpen's been phenomenal. Starting pitching has been amazing. Tyler Mahle has like, he's the lowest ERA in the American League. It's like 0.7 something. He's insanity. You know, we got him before last year.
Yeah.
Coming off of Tommy John, knowing that he was going to be kind of, for lack of a better word, project. He wasn't going to pitch last season. You know, he kind of did, worked his way back. And I mean, he's on fire.
That's great. And remember that. No one knew how to say his name.
Yes. And then Evo's Evo, DeGrom's DeGrom. And then now you're seeing Rocker and Leiter show. I mean, Rocker went 7 the other day. Like that, to go 7 innings, especially for a young pitcher like that. Like, and I appreciate Bruce Bochy and Mike Maddux and you know, whoever else is calling, making those decisions. They're letting them go. Like they're, you know, I feel like there's in a certain world under a certain staff, like Kumar Rocker goes, you know, 5 scoreless. And they're like, you know what? Let's let him leave with a good taste in his mouth. And even though he's only sitting at 75 pitches.
Right, like baby
but
him a
no,
little bit.
They're like, no, you're cruising. You've got, you know, you're 5 scoreless, 75 pitches. Go out there and throw another inning.
Be a man.
Let's see. Yeah. So I think they're pushing
them theory.
All the... can't even. Oh, the let them theory. Yeah. So anyway, they're doing great. I mean... it's not clicking at all. But if it's not clicking and you're winning games, it's like, all right, let's see if it can all come together. So
right. Well, that's wonderful news.
Yeah, and you figure yourself out
pitching
early. Yeah. I mean, you're going to need the offense to carry you at certain points in time. But you're talking about the Rangers have like the lowest run production total in all the American League. But they have like the second best record in the league. It's crazy. So,
okay. So tell me this. Yeah. When, like, we talk about how these people are all human and the mentals of sports and professional athletes, when they know their pitching is good, do they take some pressure off themselves?
They might take some pressure off themselves, but let me tell you something. They want to fucking crush
baseballs. Just like when the hitting was so good, do the pitchers, like...
So it's a little bit of a different...
I know that's a dumb slash broad question.
No, but... It's not. It's really a smart question, honestly, Julie. And here's the deal. So when your offense is... You're talking about an entire lineup versus one dude on the mound at a time. So it's a little bit different. So yes, when the offense is putting up, I mean, let's just say you're up 6-0 in the fifth inning, okay, and you come into the game as a pitcher. What a lot of guys will tell you, not all, what a lot of guys will tell you is, I'm like, does that make you, you know, relax, take some of the pressure off? And they're like, in a sense, but it actually causes me to be less like completely fearless. Like, I've got some wiggle room here, so I'm going to just go fucking straight at a guy.
What do you have to lose,
so
kind of thing?
It just gives you more of a safety net, but I don't think it affects... I don't think there's anybody that's in that clubhouse being like, I mean, our pitching's fucking killing it, so we can just, you know, let it... They're all trying to, you know, do whatever they can to help, but it does cause you to maybe not have those feelings and to know that you can play with a little more... looseness about you and take chances maybe that you wouldn't even take,
right,
because you know you've got a cushion there.
It'd be an interesting experiment to not let the batters watch the other like half of the inning
to not know what the score is or whatever,
and vice versa.
But what's so crazy about that's what's so what I think is so awesome about baseball is that it's so situational.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, it's the intricacies of the game, which, and I don't understand hockey at a deep level. I feel like hockey is that way to an extent, but with baseball, there's so many different situations.
Yeah.
And there's so many different, you know, it's like runners on, you know, first and third. Yeah. Right. And it's like, you're not just trying to hit the ball. You're trying to hit the ball to the right side, because if you hit the ball to the right side, you're going to score the runner from third. And if there's less than two outs, you've got a chance to do, even if it's a, you know, a ground ball, if you hit that ground ball to the right side, a weak grounder, that runner at third's still going to get home. Like, that's why I love baseball so much. There's so much, like, and I never...
Yeah, that's next level shit. I never even thought about that. Like, which direction to hit, because that's probably... I mean, kids don't do that. I never did that. Like, that'd be really good players.
Like, but Henry's team, they know.
They do.
Oh, 100%. Like, we'll have, and I'll be, you know, and every time, and I'm annoying mom in the stands, but like, if we've got a runner on third, less than two outs, I'm like, do a job here, kid. Do a job. You have a job. You can get an out.
Right.
It's going to be a productive out. It's going to be an RBI. You hit something to the right side, you're going to get that runner home. You hit a fly ball deep to center, deep to right, you're going to get a run home.
Yeah.
And so even though it's an out and you're not getting on base,
based on the situation,
it's still productive.
Yeah.
You know, can you move these runners? Like, they're so... That's why baseball is so...
Okay, yeah, I guess
so
we do
fun.
Know that. Yeah, it is fun. And so you don't have to be like a slugger. Like, you can...
No.
And that's...
Do a job, get a butt down. Like,
people like my son. Like, he connects.
Yes.
He makes contact, like, but he's not going to hit a home run. He's not going to be your 3-4-5 hitter. But like,
but I will say,
we're trying to encourage him because he's making contact.
Well, and here's the deal. That's what people need to teach their kids, too. And we still struggle with Henry wants to hit. You know, he wants to slug. He wants to hit for power. And it's like, dude, that will come. Like, what you need to focus on right now is you single after single, 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 double, single, double, double, single, like. Yeah, mix in those singles. It's like my husband always says. He's like, you're going to run into doubles. You're going to run into stuff like that. If you're hitting the ball consistently and you're getting on base, like, don't mess with anything.
Yeah.
You're going to run into those ones that drop where nobody is. You're going to, I mean, So anyway, that's right. Why I love it so much. And that's why I love watching him, is because Henry's so into it. And it's so fun to watch. Like, literally, it's this time of year is my favorite.
Yeah.
And even, I mean, I may bitch about being at a ballpark from like 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., but I love, love, love watching him play. And same with Hattie, but Hattie's just not into it. I mean, girl hit a fucking grand slam last night, and she...
What?
But you know what she did before?
I didn't see that on Instagram.
I didn't. It was coaching, but she... So, I mean, it wasn't a... Technically, it was probably a double with two throwing errors, but or whatever. But
no, that's
a
grand slam.
But she hit it. I mean, she got into it and hit it to the fence. And but the thing... Here's the difference with Hattie and Henry. Hattie told me she was going to do that as she walked to the plate. She's like, I'm about to, and she told me she was going to hit to right field. I'm about to hit one to right field. And I was like, okay, let's go ahead. Go ahead.
And you're like,
and then she played in. I'm like, and the girl doesn't practice. I mean, she comes to practices when we have practices, but it's not like she's hitting. Right. On the side and, you know, doing all this extra stuff, lessons or whatever.
Dude, that's kind of awesome.
Well,
it comes natural.
It's, well, and so does the confidence. God bless her. So,
well,
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably rather confident than
100%.
Not.
It's all, listen, it could all, it's all about,
but yeah,
balance.
Also, I can see super frustrating.
Yeah, right. When she does tell you, and she's like, I'm about to get a hold of one. And I'm
right.
Like, okay.
Well, it's like Anna, she doesn't want to go to practice, any practices.
Right.
She's like, I just like games.
Yeah.
I just like games. I'm like, well, eh, eh. Mm-hmm. And then I try to do the whole thing. Like, we've got a dad volunteering his time because we're dad coach everything, right? Like,
yeah.
Who's volunteering his time. He's got kids, he's got a job, and he's coaching.
Yeah.
And I've tried to even start the like emotion, like, because she's very emotional. I'm like, how would you feel? Like, how do you think he feels?
Well,
if you don't show up, he might
but
think
you,
that
if you don't practice, you don't play.
Right.
If you don't practice, you shouldn't play. That needs to be a hard and fast rule.
Girls.
Absolutely. If you do not go to practice.
I mean, they like need them all to play, though.
Well, but you need to set that.
Yeah.
As someone who coaches, I would tell you, if you're not going to go to team practices and you're able to go to team practices and you're just saying you don't want to go, then you're not playing in games.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, we had a kid on our soccer team last year that just like literally never went to practice, but played in games and was one of the best players.
And that's frustrating for the kids who show up to practice.
Because then there's also the parents that are like trying not to stress out their kids with too many things, but the, you know
well,
what I mean?
Then don't sign them up.
Right, I know, it's so hard.
Yeah, don't sign them up.
Yeah.
Like that, I ran into that too. Like if you're, you know, what's your priority? If you've got three, if you're working three different sports over a 3-month period, something's going to sacrifice. And so if you choose to sacrifice this sport, then you shouldn't, if you don't practice, if you don't come to team practices and it's not because of, you know, something that's been cleared or whatever,
right,
then you shouldn't play.
Yeah.
But like if Anna just wants to stay home and watch television instead of going to practice, and
oh,
then she wants
yeah.
to play in the games,
we
then that's a hard
definitely
no.
Definitely don't let her, but it's a battle.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah.
Or just tell her one time, say, okay, if you don't want to go to practice, you have a game on Saturday, but you're not going.
Right.
Or you can go and cheer on your teammates, but you're not
going
to play.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, she's six, but
yeah, she's,
you could try.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's
but
good
also
advice.
Too, like to your point, we've overcommitted our children.
Right.
Way overcommitted.
I know.
But you know whose fault that is? It's
ours. I know. But then when I ask her, she's like, I want to do everything.
Oh, is she the boss?
No, but what do I quit?
You have her make a decision.
Yeah.
I mean, we do a I used to say one sport a season, and then I went back on it and did two.
Yeah.
Two sports a season. That's it.
Yeah. It's hard,
yeah.
Right? I wish it was that simple.
She can make the choice.
But it's also like you do feel like when you eliminate something, they don't really go back to it.
Well,
so.
If they really love it, they will. But like, and then you mix in like dance or acro or whatever, and it's like, You're completely overcommitting your children.
I know.
And it's not, and yes, they want to do all the things because they want to be with their friends all the time.
Yeah.
Like Hattie wants to do all the things, but I'm like, no, we're not doing all the things. You have to say no to certain things.
Yeah.
You can pick two. Here, you pick two. What two do you want to do?
We're definitely, I mean, we're obviously not quitting in the middle of shit right now.
Oh,
but
no.
We're reassessing for next year. So I've been asking them like, the question I've been asking is like, what genuinely do you feel happiest doing? Like of all your things, what do you feel happiest doing? And I'm getting answers, but then it's like, oh, in this,
right.
You know what I mean? They're not giving me straight answers, but it's at least helping to hear kind of what they say first. And You know, yeah. And they're like, oh, well, I don't want to quit that. Oh, you know, and I have that problem. I'm an overcommitter,
yeah.
Right? It's, and as I'm learning, it's a ADD thing.
Yeah.
Like it is. It's like you try to do too much. You try to do everything. You want to help everybody. You want to do all the things. Like that's yeah. something that is just innate.
Yeah.
In us. But it's, I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah. But that's on us. Like yeah. That's on me. That's on you. I mean, cause yeah. Oh yeah. And people are like, oh, well, she loves to do it. Well, is she okay? She also loves to, you know, eat M&Ms. Are you going to let her eat those for breakfast, lunch and dinner? No. Like,
yeah.
Ultimately you're the parent. You make the decisions.
I know, but I do not want her sitting on her ass. Like,
right.
You
but,
know,
right. I totally.
So it is. It's there, like a fine
balance.
Line.
There's a balance, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
it's, and every family is different. Every child is different. There's no formula.
Like 3 o'clock to bedtime is a long ass time after
it is.
School.
It is.
But
then
yeah.
you have to realize what stress are you causing by in and out and stressing to do this and get to that and drive here and then get Ryder here and get Anna here and
yeah.
blah, blah. I mean, it's.
I mean, the way life and days and and family life and work and everything has been structured for so long is just not conducive to. It's just not like kids getting out of school at 3.
Yeah.
And work days and humans and bills. It just all doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
Like, right. So I think that's part of the problem is trying to fill 3 o'clock on until bedtime and work and all the things. But I don't know. It's always going to be hard.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And it'll change as they get older.
Yeah.
You know, but I remember like when Hattie told me she was quitting soccer. First of all, like never was a happier day in my life. Like,
yeah. If one of them told me that, I'd be like, heck
but
yeah.
But you know why she quit soccer? Because she said it was
shin guards.
The shin guards. So you know how hard it is to take off those shin guards? And I'm
yeah.
like, it must be so hard.
It's hard though, because Anna's like just good enough at everything where she's good.
Yeah.
Like she's good at soccer.
Right. But then the second she said I was done, she was done. And then she tried to get back into soccer like last year. And I was like, you've lost your mind.
Yeah.
You're not getting back into soccer.
And things have gotten so early. Like I didn't, like volleyball, for example, I didn't start volleyball till 7th grade.
We didn't even have volleyball in Plainview. In high school, we didn't have volleyball.
7th grade, I tried out randomly, had never played before yeah. and made it, like
oh,
made
now
the
there's
B team.
Clubs. Oh,
no, like,
so I have friends.
They're playing in third.
Yes. Oh, Hattie's been playing since she was in 3rd grade.
My friend's 12-year-old's traveling the country.
Okay. We're
going off on a thing.
Travel volleyball.
Yes.
Which I thought travel baseball was something.
Yeah.
It's not. I mean, it is. It is. But like this travel volleyball thing, like spring break one weekend was spent like in Shreveport or something. They're paying thousands of dollars. These friends of mine, their kids have to send pictures of their meal the night before a tournament. Like their dinner and then their breakfast.
What? To who? The coach?
To the coaches. To show them what they're eating.
What?
Yes.
The pros don't even do that, do they?
I don't care.
No.
No. It's the hardest no for me.
Yeah.
Like, you want me to... You want my child to text you pictures of their dinner
like,
and
here's
lunch?
Here's a freaking Lunchable and some chicken nuggets. Because that falls on me to feed them something that's appropriate
what
for a photo to send the coach.
What
no!
are we doing? Like, that to me was so next level. I was like,
yes.
Okay, whatever organization this is,
that's
we're
insane. That's insane.
Yeah. And then, like, part of your... And I say this, baseball is going to start taking over our lives if Henry continues to play. But, you know, like, spring break... And that's another thing I think I'm scared of is like these, you know, times, you know, because now like Christmas, if you play basketball in high school, they have like Christmas tournaments and
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's crazy. Kids get old and then we lose our minds.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy.
Okay, we need to get some stuff on our feed. Brought to us by our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media and One Day Doors. So Audrey Dolan's Media, we've been working with them for the last several months, and they are amazing. They do influencer management, brand management, monetization management, collaborations, influencer management, campaigns, content creation, social media stuff, website design, which they just redid our website.
Yay!
And it is so beautiful. When are we sharing that? Soon?
It's live.
But can we, I mean, but we haven't.
We can share it.
We can? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we need to share it because the website that ADM did for us is so beautiful and so fancy and so, like, I feel like so high tech.
Yeah.
So
it,
yeah,
encapsulates everything.
It does. It really is just like anything you want to know about the Mom Game, you can find it on our new website. But yeah,
www.themomgamepod.com.
Yeah. And so we want to give Audrey and her team so much love, because they really took, you know, great care of this project and wanted to make sure it was perfect. And
yep,
it absolutely is. So Audrey Dawn's Media is where it's at. If you need help with your business, your branding, your marketing, anything like that, they are simply the best. So admedia.com.
AudreyDollins.com.
AudreyDollins.com. Yeah, they're the bomb.
Yep. And you can see on her website how awesome that is. And so she can make you one like that. Go to themomgamepod.com. She can make you one like that. And really, whatever it is that you need to elevate your business so you don't have to do it, they can do. Also, One Day Doors and Closets. If you've been following along on social media, you've seen what they were able to do to help upgrade the doors in my house. I think about it. It's funny because you have the doors upgraded in your house and then you like use those doors every day and you think about it all the time. How excited you are that you did upgrade those doors, because it does make a big difference. And it's just one of those things that you don't realize is going to make as big of a difference as it does. You can replace your interior doors in one day without any messy construction in your house. They use advanced 3D measuring technology to make a digital blueprint of your existing frames, and they custom cut those doors to fit those frames. Like I said, they do it all in one day. They can go out to their truck, they cut everything, bring it back in and install it. They're factory painted with an advanced coating paint. And in just one day, they are fully finished. And they also can save you money. They typically save customers 30 to 50% compared to those big box stores or handymen. So you might be tempted to go to Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever. Don't do that. Go to One Day Doors, onedaytexas.com. We also have a promo code going right now for buy one, get one free on those doors. onedaytexas.com/promo30. And in most cases, which is like what they did at my house, they're replacing builder grade hollow doors with solid core or real wood doors. And that's why I really notice a huge difference. They're a massive upgrade to quality, and they significantly cut down on sound transmission in my house. I work at home. I have loud kids. I have a loud TV. Kelly and I both work at home, so we always need silence. We need quiet. And when I close all those doors, we can't hear anything, and it makes such a huge difference. And they're also very beautiful. It's like hanging in new piece of art in every room. One more time, onedaytexas.com/promo30, or you can give them a call at 940-969-4790. Tell them that the Mom Game sent you.
Okay, what do we have? Anything sticking out in your feed this week?
How are you doing with the death of Pope Francis?
Oh,
I was worried about you.
Were you? Because of my deep knowledge of religion, yeah, and matters relating to, yeah, religion. Well, what tripped me out was, didn't he just like say a prayer or something the morning he died?
Well, he's a pope.
Well, but they like carted him out there in that Pope Mobile. They did that day. And then he died like 12 hours later.
I mean, his whole existence is to pray and stuff.
Well, but if you're literally about to die.
Yeah.
And they just, you don't seem very impressed, quite frankly. Which, when I'm about to die, yeah, you're not going to prop me up in a Pope Mobile and parade me around and ask me to say a prayer. Anybody out there who's going to be with me when I'm
about to die. You're not the Pope.
Well, this is true. But I'm just saying, like, when I'm about to die, I'm just going to be about to die.
Yeah.
Like, he's the ultimate, like, I mean, we talk about like we can't sit still or take a nap. The man is about to die. He can't even die. They're like, we just need you to go through this Pope motorcade one more time and say a blessing. And it's, uh-huh, like, can I just die? Like, I'm dying in 12 hours.
I think that it meant a lot to the people, though.
I think it did. I'm just saying, mad props.
Yeah.
Like, mad respect.
I mean,
because it's like, can you not just let me die? You're going to make me say another prayer?
Well, don't people pray before they die?
But anyway, not in a Pope Mobile. Like, did you see the video of him in the Pope Mobile?
I didn't.
When I'm about to die, I hope I'm in bed. Yeah. Finally taking that nap.
Let's talk about what you want. Oh, I'll make sure it's executed.
What I want. Oh, everybody already knows.
Tell us.
Oh, yeah. It's like there's going to be like Biggie plan. Mm-hmm. Oh, like hypnotize. Oh, my God. Can I tell you what I'm going to do for my birthday? So I just went from Pope talk to what I'm going to do for my birthday. Uh-huh. I don't think that's appropriate. It's disrespectful.
Well, he's
rest
gone,
in peace.
So.
R.I.P. And like I said, I'm the one over here giving him mad respect and props. And you're over here being like, I mean, isn't that what he does?
I think he liked it is my point.
I think he did too.
I think it was what he wanted.
He did.
If you're a Pope, that's what you want.
That's what you want. You want to go out doing what you love.
Right.
Praying.
Exactly.
In a Pope-mobile.
Exactly. You want to be in a Pope-mobile.
Okay. Well,
so what do you want to do? Oh, how do you want to go out?
How do I want to go out? Well, I want to be cremated.
Okay.
I don't really care what anybody does with my ashes, mm-hmm. but like at my funeral, like I don't want it to be sad. Like I want people to tell funny, embarrassing, but stories about me, but like
but
also nice, not, but ooh, good catch.
Just like making what sure. I'm just clearing it up because this is going to be reviewed. I know it. Someone's going to come find it. And it sounded like you said butt story.
It did. No, I did say it. I didn't mean to. Okay. So I want like a fun, I want an upbeat funeral.
Yeah.
Like I want there to be some
celebration of life.
Yeah. But I don't want traditional hymns. I mean, I could probably find a couple that I really love, but like out the door, it's like, you know, Biggie, 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 can't you see? I want it to be fun. I want people to tell fun stories and embarrassing stories, but also like sprinkle in some of me being nice. you know, but like there's those things like you've seen those memes on social media. They're like, if anybody tells you at my funeral that I was like that, I lit up a room, you know, or I don't know, like the funny things. Like I just want my funeral to be real.
Right.
Like I don't want it to be like, oh, she was so sweet and demure and like, no,
right,
not either.
Do you think there's people that like are so worried about their funeral that they plan and like say like, hey, when I die, you're gonna, will you please tell this story and tell everybody that I was really great?
Right. I think there might
like
be
maybe slip them 100 and right. be like, will you tell everyone that
like,
I'm the
hey,
best?
Hey, this is kind of the angle I'm going for.
Yes.
I think with mine, I just want it to be like fun. I don't want it to be sad. I want it to be
wine. Yeah.
I mean, not like in the church, but
right.
You know, afterward.
Yeah.
Every post-funeral reception I've ever hosted, there's definitely always been booze.
Yeah. Do you host a lot of post-funeral reception?
Oh, there's been a handful.
Oh.
Which is sad because that means I'm getting older. But yeah, there's always.
Right. You've got to. That's how.
Take the edge.
Well, that's like the whole concept of the wake or whatever, right?
Yeah. I want it to be fun. I want it to be honest. You know, like I said, people can tell embarrassing true stories about me, but I also hope they would mix in like some nice shit I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about it. Okay. And there has to be rap music.
Right.
Like just on the way out.
Yeah.
Like set the tone early, like fine. Maybe like Ice Ice Baby on a violin.
Oh, I see. Rap but elegant.
Rap but make it elegant.
Yes, I like it. Hood but fancy. I like it.
So
that sounds perfect.
Okay, what about
and
you?
Now we have it on.
Yeah, now everyone knows. Mm-hmm. What about you? At the ranch? No,
maybe, but I don't know. I think just colorful.
Okay,
I just like colors and cats and
okay. Colors and cats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so Julie. So very Julie. Talking about gangster rap over here and booze. And you're like, I just want cats and colors.
Colorful and cats and good, happy stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I can take care of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's about all.
Well, rest in peace, Pope Francis.
Sorry we made that about us.
But back to us. But he lived a really good life. And he went out doing
sure
what he loved,
he
according to you.
He did.
Okay, we do have some very special guests in our TMG news desk today. Yeah. we're super excited to have them. We met them a while back, and I won't take too much of the thunder away from the introduction of them, but I do want to let you know that their appearance here on The Mom Game is brought to you by the CJ Cup Byron Nelson. You can join in on the fun Friday, May 2nd at the CJ Cup Byron Nelson with us, The Mom Game, and our friends from The Dumb Zone as we go live from the 17th hole from 1 to 4 p.m., thanks to our sponsor, Tito's Handmade Vodka. So bring your crew and experience world-class golf as the pros take on TPC Craig Ranch May 1st through the 4th. This tournament has it all. Incredible food, cold drinks, and an unbeatable atmosphere. So soak up the sun, make some memories, and catch every single swing with us at one of the most exciting stops on the PGA Tour. Tickets are on sale now at thecjcupbyronnelson.org. Good to know that kids under 15 get in free with a ticketed adult, so do not miss out. Tito's Handmade Vodka is an official sponsor of the CJ Cup Byron Nelson. Stop by the Tito's Clubhouse at the 17th hole and raise a Tito's transfusion to your day on the green. Distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation Incorporated, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly. Again, that is Friday, May 2nd. Join us, 17th hole, us in the Dumb Zone. Come say hi to your girls.
Now it's time for our special guests, Taylor and Tyler Hall.
And we are excited to have two very special people in studio today, Taylor and Tyler Hall, who we met, Julie and I did, when we were on Good Morning Texas a couple of months ago. They were also in studio with their two precious kiddos, one of them named Will, who has a condition called ALD, which I had never heard of, and they've started a nonprofit foundation called Will to Cure ALD. Love the play on words. And so we just wanted to have you guys in studio to learn a little more about ALD, about what you guys are trying to do to raise some awareness and hopefully raise some money to put behind this cause. So if you can kind of, first of all, just give us a little bit of a backstory on what ALD is, how you guys, you know, found out about it, and how Will was diagnosed.
So to explain what ALD is, it's in our case caught on the newborn screen. So it's screened for every baby that's born in the state of Texas and most states in the US. It is a condition that impacts your ability to break down very long chain fatty acids, and those are found in foods, but your body also naturally produces them. So a diet does not fix the problem. So these build up in your body to a toxic level. And as they're at that toxic level, they start to impact the nerve cells in your brain and spinal cord and your adrenal glands. And so it is a long lifetime of kind of managing symptoms, monitoring potential impacts. And those potential impacts are fatal if left untreated. So that's why we're incredibly grateful to know about it at this age. And there's a lot of stories that don't go the way that ours hopefully will go, and that a treatment option is available. So it's a long road that William will face throughout his life. And if it does impact his brain, the only way to halt its progression is through a bone marrow transplant. And that typically happens between the ages of 5 and 10. For most of those boys. And if he makes it through without that, there's a very high likelihood it would impact his mobility later in life. And there's currently no treatment option for that. And most men between the ages of 40 and 50 end up using a walker, a cane, or potentially a wheelchair. So we have a focus of the next 10 years, but we also have a focus of his entire life ahead of us as to how we can potentially alter that course through our foundation.
So how old is he now? And I would assume you guys went to work as soon as you got the diagnosis on how can we give our child the best life possible?
Yeah, so he's 1 year old as of last month. And we can share more kind of about those early days that were just really challenging and shocking and not knowing what to do. And when you're given a rare disease diagnosis, it's essentially, there's nothing we can do about it except monitor, kind of wait and see. And as we kind of process this, we started to ask the questions, what if there is something we can do about it? And kind of having this vision of us, along with many other people, putting together resources and enabling very intelligent, smart researchers to potentially give us an option that currently doesn't exist today. So that foundation was started back in December of last year.
So you get, you know, the news like that, and I've we've all heard some sort of probably bad news, but something that's a disease, right? I've dealt with it myself with cancer. And then, you know, my son was just recently diagnosed with some mental health stuff. But when you get the news like that, I know there's like, there's kind of two different modes that you're in. It's one, trying to process this news. And granted, you guys had just had a beautiful baby boy too. So you're processing bringing a human into the world. Then you're processing this news. And then you're processing, like, you got to dig deep and fight and do what you can do to see what you can do for him and find time to do what you're doing like right now and helping to spread the word for others. How did you guys as parents manage all of that? And how quickly did it take you to go from that initial, this is the worst thing that we possibly could have heard, but I want to act now and do something about it. Take us through, I guess, those moments and kind of how you found that inner strength to fight for him and to spread the word.
Well, in the beginning, we had a lot of doctor's appointments, a lot of lab draws and visits with specialists. And so I would say I kind of took the reins on that. I lived down at Children's. We flew up to Boston to meet with specialists up there. We've been out to Utah to visit with specialists. And then Tyler, he really took charge on the research side and became a, I feel like he became a doctor and an expert in all of this.
Yeah.
He just really stepped up in a great way. But we really had to lean on our faith too. That was really big. I went to our pastor at church because I was not well. And we really had to lean into each other and just be there for each other and recognize he processes things differently than I do. But we're a team in this and we have to get on the same page to get William the help he needs and set him up for a successful life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it was probably around 3 or 4 months in that as just on drives to work and just you're constantly thinking about it once you get the news like this. And this is unique, and I describe it, it's not like cancer, because in the case of cancer, it's like we have to do something right now.
Yeah.
In this case, we have, if he gets the cerebral form that impacts the brain, maybe 5 to 10 years. If it's going to impact his spine, we maybe have 30 years. So we have like, and to me, I was just flash forwarding in my head to, what if one day I'm sitting with William in the hospital? What do I want to be kind of comfortable with how much I did to try and prevent that from happening? That was kind of the vision that I had. And that was the kind of enabler and the motivation to do this, which is we can dedicate our evenings to watching Netflix or kind of doing things for ourselves, or we can just really hunker down and try and figure out how do we solve this and how do we just connect the right people and the right resources to try and solve it so that whatever happens in the future, we can kind of take some solace in. We did everything in our power to prevent whatever could possibly happen from happening. And that was kind of the genesis of,
wow,
let's do something about this.
And obviously William is the motivation for you all, but you're impacting others who are, you know, who are dealing with a similar situation that may have not had the wherewithal or had it in them to, you know, take it that next step to where the, you know, the things that you guys are doing are going to benefit not only your child and your family, but they're going to benefit others as well. Can you, I guess, take me through that thought process of we're not just going to focus on ourselves. We're going to try to do something bigger than that.
Yeah, I think I've talked to a lot of people that have worked. I've networked with a bunch of people that have worked in kind of disease cure efforts like this in the past. And the thing that they've said is you have to be comfortable with the fact that this may result in treatments for others and not for your loved ones, just because of how long it takes to see kind of fruit come from efforts like this. And it's been really rewarding we've heard from people within the community, from multiple different people, just saying thank you for spending time doing this and just accessing your network to be able to put something like this together. And just an appreciation from people that don't have the time, don't have the resources, and haven't had a chance to do something like this themselves. And I think it's incredibly rewarding when you look at these Facebook pages we're a part of and you see every week there's five new people being added to that group. And every week it's five people going through what we went through a year ago and just hoping for the future to look differently than that. And the only way that you really change the trajectory of these things is just patient advocacy has to kind of come together and build momentum. And we're just trying to be kind of one piece amongst a bunch of other parents that are trying to do the same thing, just tapping into our own network and our own resources and dedicating our evenings to trying to do something about it.
And Taylor, after Will's diagnosis, you found out that you are, and I was just listening when y'all were on Good Morning Texas, you also have the condition, or how, tell me, take me through that.
Yeah, so ALD is unique and different from other diseases where if you're a carrier, if you're a female carrier, you can exhibit symptoms. So I shouldn't exhibit the cerebral form where I would need a transplant, but I very well could have issues with my mobility, and there's a few other things, but that's the biggest one. And so there are some women that use walkers or are even in a wheelchair. And the frustrating thing is you can do that genetic testing before, you know, when you're planning to have a family and everything. But if the genetic, what would you say?
Mutation.
If the mutation is not in literature, then it doesn't show, they won't report it. It's called a variant of unknown significance. And so those companies don't report all of those things. And that makes it, it's frustrating because when we went back and they re-ran everything, that answer was right there. It did show that I had that mutation. But I mean, moving forward, we wouldn't have William here if we had that answer back then. And so we're just in a way grateful that we didn't know because we wouldn't have him.
So why does it affect females and males so differently?
So it's an X chromosome disorder. And so since females have two X's, they essentially have a backup. Males only have one X. So if this portion of the X chromosome is broken in a male, they have no backup to break down these long chain fatty acids. So theirs are typically much higher than the females, but there's thousands of variants and they all act differently, and they don't really, the other frustrating thing, there's nothing they can tell you about the course that's going to take place. They're like, here are the odds of each of these things happening, and you can have zero, you can have all three, and we don't know. In the case of females, there's a little, your odds are skewed more favorably, but you still can exhibit symptoms. And we know of people who, as they go through this, now that they're flagging newborns, they find out they themselves have it. They find out their mom has it, and their mom is having mobility problems, maybe in a wheelchair, and they haven't been able to explain why. And you just learn these things as you go up the chain and establish, since it's inherited on the X chromosome, it impacts, it can explode to impact cousins and siblings and the family tree. You can start to fill out with who else has this, and maybe explain some of their medical issues that they're going through.
So does your daughter carry it as well?
Luckily, she does not.
Okay.
And we even got my parents tested, and they don't have it. So it did start with me, which makes it even more rare. But like Tyler said, there are families finding out that grandma has it and grandpa, and you know, you just thought grandpa was getting old and having to go see a urologist or podiatrist or something. But it was really ALD causing certain symptoms. And then even just visiting with some doctors, they have found there's families of, you know, four boys, and the newest boy will get it. And then they find out, oh, all the siblings have it because they weren't initially tested on it on the newborn screen, because not every state has it, or it's been added at a later date. It started in
20, it was about to ask. Yeah. When did it start?
2019.
Okay.
In the state of Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the story behind that is also kind of crazy. There was a boy that went to White Rock Elementary, whose name was Julian. He passed away from this in 2016, whenever he was 8 years old. And they didn't know about it. And his parents went and advocated for that to be added to the newborn screen in Texas after his passing. And are the reason why Texas is now testing for it. And we had
good on them.
Yeah. And we had our daughter in 2021 and William in 2024. And just kind of thinking back to, we got married in 2016. Like, if we would have had kids earlier, then they, our story could have played out in a much different way. And so we're like very grateful to that family and the many others that have advocated, because it's so critical. You have the stats are maybe like one kid a month born in the state of Texas with this. If they don't know about it, one out of every three of those would basically be progressing perfectly fine in elementary school, and then at one point kind of hit this decline that there's nothing you can do about it, and it ends up being fatal. And so the early detection is critical, and that family to us is so incredibly important. And
have you met Julian's family?
Yeah. His mom is actually watching the kids right now.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah.
And they lived in the house right across the street from us. And moved out like right before we moved in. So there's a lot of these kind of signs that we saw in the early days of,
wow, that's
this
crazy.
This is meant to be.
Yeah.
And it's not like you don't want that, but it's also like a comforting of, this is where
we're in the right spot. Yeah. Y'all are doing the right thing. You're in the right spot.
And there's so many other ways this could have played out.
God, that's crazy. I just got chills. Yeah. That's nutso.
And Julian is definitely part of our driving factor too. Like this family that lost a precious little boy, you know, we want to make sure they did this amazing thing for us, but we want his name to live on, and him to be a part of this and finding a cure too.
Yep.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's. I mean, y'all are like on such a breakthrough of something big. Like it does. It gives you the goosebumps. It takes sometimes people like this, right, to get a really cool story to begin and to get research going on everything. I mean, it sounds dumb, everything I'm saying, but it's like something has a big idea, anything has to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And how the circumstances we hate the circumstances, but y'all are doing such amazing work for so many other people. And the fact that you were able to see it right before your eyes and feel that and inspire you to continue to do it and help others, you know, after you, that's all huge. At the same time, you've got this precious boy and he's here. What's he like? And how do you, knowing all of this, whatever happens, we don't know, right? How do you handle every day? And just tell us a little bit about him and what you guys do with him, what he enjoys, and just, you know, family life right now.
And his big sister too.
Yeah.
He's the cutest thing. He loves a good cuddle, and he loves to play peekaboo, and he'll just start doing it with you and with anyone. He loves to play outside, and we're starting to see him turn the corner and go from baby to toddler, and I'm getting really nervous. We're entering into boyhood. You know, we only know princesses and and pink and jewelry right now, but I already know he's going to be trouble.
He likes to throw things.
Yes, he throws lots of things. He's very good at throwing a ball. You know, maybe he'll play for the Rangers. I don't know.
There we go.
He's lots of fun. Sister loves to play with him, and she's a little rough with him, so she likes to tackle him.
Yeah. She'll toughen him up.
Yeah. And I bet just your perspective, right, on life and on every day, and not like getting in arguments or sweating the small stuff is what I say. I bet that's changed a lot for you guys.
It's given us a big perspective that I think we're able to take in these moments with the kids and really just think about how lucky we are. I mean, just the small things. When I'm putting dishes away and I'm watching them maybe quietly play, I'm like, I'm so lucky. Like, they are here. This is what I prayed for. Even though our circumstances aren't what we had hoped they would be, I'm still so, so lucky that I get to be their mom. And they're just so, so cute. I know we're biased, but they're really
cute. Well, we've seen them too. They are cute.
I think the interesting thing with what he has is there are other leukodystrophies. So ALD is a leukodystrophy where the kid does not survive past the age of one or two, and you never get to see them as kind of becoming their own person. And I think that's what, there's always the it could be worse scenario, and that's where seeing him and seeing him grow up and getting these moments, we really take those in, knowing that so many other families are not lucky enough to get to see these many years and these many real moments that every normal kid kind of grows up experiencing. I'd say that's equally as kind of heartbreaking, knowing that one day that could change, and getting to experience it in this moment and kind of just thinking in the future how it could be different is a lot of our emotions. But I would say for sure, like, the what we talk about and what we get upset about, there's a whole different perspective on life in general and being thankful for our own health, and just everyone loves their kids more than anything in the world, and it just gives you this extra motivation to do something. And it's unlike any motive I have ever experienced in my life, just how motivated we are to help.
Well, you guys are so inspiring.
We're
so grateful for sharing your story. I want to know, or I think people hearing this would want to know, like, how can I find out more? How can I help? Do y'all have anything coming up that we can, you tell us when y'all have got stuff coming up, we'll promote it on the show and all that kind of stuff. But how do people get involved, learn more about this, and maybe there's something, that they can do to help?
Sure. So our website is willtocureald.org. On there, we have a lot of information about what we're trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish. Obviously, we're fundraising. All that money is nonprofit designated and goes towards what we are going to select as kind of like the top research projects that we see the most promise in. Beyond that, we're also raising awareness for the bone marrow donor registry. So that helps anyone with a rare disease, kids that have cancer that need a bone marrow transplant. It's just basically typing yourself with a cheek swab to allow other families to search that database and see if you could potentially save their life. And so that's nmdp.org is that website. Our event that we've got upcoming is on May 10th in Lake Highlands, where we're going to be having them come in to a brewery called Vector Brewing that's right down the street from our house. And they're going to set up from 4:30 to 6:30. And they'll have a tent, and you can come scan a QR code, enter your info, swab your cheek. They'll take it there and add you to the registry. So,
and that's free.
That's free. So that's kind of the free way to help that impacts us, impacts a whole bunch of other kids and families that are searching for a match that could save their life. And beyond that, just awareness. So we're incredibly grateful to y'all for giving us a platform and kind of letting us share our story. And spreading the word is more important than anything else. Of just, there's rare diseases out there that are kind of somewhat forgotten in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And there's kids living with them that are at the same schools that our kids are at and are growing up with.
Yeah. So. Well, you guys are doing great work. And we're happy to really help support you guys in any way that we can.
Anything we can do. For sure. And I'll try to go out to Vector that day.
Yeah.
See Craig and Veronica, other wonderful people over there, and giving back to the community. And I'm glad to know y'all are here in Lake Highlands too.
Yeah. Yep. Keep us updated.
Right over by me. Anything we can do to help.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We end every show. Y'all look into your camera. We throw up the peace signs and say mom game out. It's super cheesy, but that's what we've done for the last 5 years.
We'll do
and we're
it.
Not going to stop now. So on the count of three, mom game out. 1, 2, 3.
Mom game out.